How's it going, everybody? And welcome to another edition of the Hoop Jack Podcast series. I'm your host, Chris Farmers. With me is my man, LeVar. LeVar, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, bro.
Always doing good on a day like this. Yeah. So,
good day.
A lot of things that I've seen is interesting, and especially with the end of college basketball season right now, we're seeing a lot of moves right now in the transfer portal.
A lot of moves.
Now, so far, I've seen 181. 181 moves.
It's ridiculous.
180. And this I might be off by a few days, but this is from Friday. Not even yesterday. This is from Friday. So I'm pretty sure it's going up to like almost 200. My thing is, and we've talked about this on the show in the past, where the transfer portal, the main ones that it hurts are the athletes who are transferring and the high school students trying to get into school. My thing is, who does it hurt more? Because it hurts both, but who does it hurt more?
I think it hurts the kids that's trying to get in, because they have a chance to go to certain schools, and all of a sudden here comes somebody from the transfer portal taking their chance. You know, taking their spot, and it's not fair.
That scholarship that they wanted.
Right, and they probably earned.
I think, in my opinion, it hurts the transfer, because here's why. What made you want to leave? Do you think that, I feel like also transferring, you're not able to commit. I think it's the concept of, why can't you commit to a program?
Right.
Like, you wanted to go there in the first place. Do you not fit like a system that could work?
Are you not coachable?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Are you not coachable? Are you not?
When it comes down to them leaving because their conference is too tough for them, and you know, that type of stuff. I mean, that doesn't look good on their part.
I know that the where you would want to go is like, you want to go to a big name school. Hey, that's fine, but also don't, like, you need to go where you fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, at least can.
At least you can too. And I think you're also looking at the fact, like, how it affects as well with kids with the NIL. And I saw this once on the show where I think you should not be, if you're especially Division I aspect, if you are able to make some money, that you cannot play. That you cannot earn NIL money unless you have played a full year with the school.
And they have to sit out a certain amount of the
I'd say at least a few games.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say give them the first, I'd say first three or four games don't start, because
they shouldn't be able to.
Or at least, I mean, because that's the whole thing with the transfer portal anyways, the idea of I can go there and then start right away. Well, even the old system, it was, you couldn't be there for, you had to wait a year.
Right.
I'm not saying wait a year, because then that takes away everything you, like, if you're a freshman, redshirt freshman, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have plenty of time to learn.
Right.
You're a senior transferring, or
this is your last
grad
year.
School. I'm not saying that it's not a great idea. I'm saying just work within the system. Like, if you've earned the spot, you earn the spot. I think
I just don't like it. To be honest, it's just like, you know, the NBA making all these moves with trades every damn year now. You don't know, there's no commitment to a team anymore. There's too many ways to get out of it. You know what I'm saying?
There are.
And I don't like having to move my kid four different places. You know, are they doing this for basketball reasons, or are they trying to actually learn and get education?
I mean,
I know it's not for the education.
Well, when we've had people on the show who've done the transfer, who've moved from school to school,
mm-hmm.
say, I think we had a girl from Miami to ODU. We've had guys from, you know, South Carolina, different schools in South Carolina, like Charleston to Clemson, mm-hmm. or, you know, Florida Tech to even LSU, or even UCSB to, or UCLA to wherever. I mean, we've had people from the show who have transferred and have made a difference, or have even looked, even adding on to grad school.
Better.
not even the team better, but they're adding on to their education. They're moving forward with a higher degree, mm-hmm. and they have a plan. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it does come down to the fact that the transfer portal gives you a glimpse of what is to be. It's like a screening of what is this guy going to do, A, for the program? Is he going to commit? And is are we going to have an issue? Because it's possible.
It's possible. And the thing is, I, like I said, for educational purposes, I just don't like it that they're just moving from one to the next. And it has nothing to do with them getting any type of education. It's just about basketball or the sport they're playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, it just, what is this going to end up creating a bad influence for, you know, programs moving down the line? True. Where
look at North Carolina, they've lost what, 4 players now. Mm-hmm. That's going to make it look even. They have to replace 4 players, starters. I'm not talking about people that.
Right now,
on the
we're
bench.
Treating this like the NBA, where it's the trade deadline.
Yep, it's the trade deadline.
Like,
that shouldn't be in college.
That should not be in college.
Nowhere should not be in college.
Like, we used to talk about when the one and done came about.
Right.
That was a tough situation.
But you know what?
Because you looked at the players who went through the one and done. You looked at Anthony Davis. You looked at John Wall. You looked at Kyrie Irving. Right. Guys who were NBA eligible.
Yeah.
But everyone had the conception that, oh, they're going to college for 1 year. They're going to take baloney, like BS classes. They're mm-hmm. not going to care. And, least, you know, why are they, you know, wasting a spot for someone who would want to go there?
Right.
And it.
At
it's
least
a
some
little,
of them went back
it's
school.
Some of them, and some of them went through school yeah, while the NBA. Went Steph Curry school. Went through his
Vince
degree.
Yeah.
And everybody. I even just saw, like, and going to football, like 15 Commanders went through college graduation, finished their degrees.
Yep.
So it's not like they're not doing nothing. They have plans. They wanted to finish school, and they didn't at the time. But it's still beneficial for them.
Right. But like you were saying, it hurts a team, a major team, when all of their stars decide, well, we're going to transfer. That's 5 players. Or 4 players, or how many ever that you got to try to find new spots for, and these buttons was like key players. That's not good.
It's not.
Not for the school. It's not good at all.
Not at all. And then moving towards the NBA, we're getting down to it,
sir.
There ain't a whole lot left, and
Chicago staying at 10
right now. 3 teams in the West have already clinched a spot with. The Bucks, the Celtics, the 76ers have all clinched. Mm-hmm. And within the West, the Nuggets and the Grizzlies, and with Ja Morant coming back slowly off the bench,
yeah.
you know, you kind of see an improvement. We don't know what's going to happen down the line with Morant.
I mean, he's coming off the bench like he's injured. He's not injured.
He's not injured, but, I mean, minimal minutes. Yeah. But he's making effective those minutes. Right now, if the NBA playoffs started today, the Thunder make it with a losing record.
Yes.
The Thunder make it and the Mavs
Chicago
don't.
Chicago do too?
And the Mavs don't. But here's the thing. The Mavs don't. They're a half a game back of the Thunder.
And they're even.
It's so close. Like, that play-in area is within a few games. That's within a few games. I mean, that's within 1.5, 2
games. That period when Luka and Kyrie set out the whole time, that hurt them.
That hurt them, the most. And
they were on a tear at that point.
Right now.
Well, they had lost 4 games, but still.
Honestly, it would be interesting to see no Texas team in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, that's just like no North Carolina team in the college playoffs, in the Elite Eight or any type of season.
Any type, like, you had one team in the NIT and then,
once they forget it.
And then they couldn't do it. Like, it's interesting. MVP favorites. Who do you have? Because I have Embiid.
I still have Embiid.
I have Embiid.
And the thing is, like I say, Jokic is still doing his thing, but I say Jokic
but
has a better, he has better players with him.
I think Embiid has made more of a difference. You take Embiid out of that Philly situation, they're not winning those
games.
Not
a damn game.
You take Jokic out of that situation, they struggle. They struggle, but they're still a playoff team.
But Porter
but you
and
take,
Murray.
You take out Embiid, Harden cannot do it himself.
No. And then their big man, I'm not going to say nothing about Deadman, but he doesn't have the Embiid talent.
Right. It's still a growing process.
Right.
Bulls right now are a play-in tournament team. You're right there at the 10th spot.
Listen, I'm just happy.
The Lakers are in 9th, but like I said, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. There's one game.
I feel that if the Lakers get there, they can be dangerous.
But
you just got to stay healthy and play together.
I doubt it, but still. I doubt it.
Yeah.
And the Warriors are at 6th, but they're a playoff team.
That's what I'm about to say. The Warriors want
The Warriors want to be 6th. Here's why. Because they're going to be lethal whether they're home or not.
Yep.
They're a playoff team. Everybody
they're
healthy.
Sixth, they're playing, Sacramento? Oh,
no,
well,
the Clippers.
They're going to play
No. They play Sacramento, but that's tough too.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
But the Lakers and Sacramento, that'd be a hell of a game. I honestly can't say.
Because right with that play in, the 7 and 8, winner moves up to 7th, right. Loser plays the winner of the 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Winner of 9 and 10 still have a shot.
It's
interesting. It's more basketball, but still. Lakers are healthy, they can beat the Thunder, but you go against a health. If it's
they
a healthy.
Should be able to beat the
if
Thunder.
It's a healthy Pelican squad.
Might be over.
God,
a healthy Pelican squad.
Healthy Pelican
man,
squad
is top three.
Top
to be honest,
three versus a Lakers.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, literally when they were healthy, they were busting everybody assets. That's pretty good. But when they got hurt, like Zion went down, Ingram went down, McCollum went down.
Everybody
went
down.
That's when it, you know, basically went bad for them.
Everybody went down. But it'll be interesting to see with nearly 10 games left or even less than that.
Let's go, Chicago, to stay. I need them to stay. Please make the playoffs.
They still have a chance. I mean, they're sitting 10th.
We don't make runs in the playoffs.
They're sitting 10th, but still a lot. They're 3 games ahead, so that gives you a little wiggle.
A little wiggle,
but they could move to 9th. They still have a chance at 8th.
We can't lose any more than 3 games the rest of these games. Any more than 3 games. Because if we do, and Washington wins 5.
Imagine the magic pull within.
That'd be hurt.
But that's the worst wiggle room because everyone else is out.
Right.
Kind of now, but still. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we have our 101 Hooper profile with overseas professional basketball star Greg Gant. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Hoop Jack Podcast Series, guys. And today, for our 101 Hooper profile, we have a very special guest. We have overseas professional basketball star Greg Gant. Greg, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
So from what I see, you've had a interesting journey through professional, whether it's within the NBA as far as the D League,
right,
or these with Spain and Germany. Right now, you are currently playing overseas in Germany. Is that correct?
Spain.
And yep. Spain. And so what's that kind of been like playing for Spain, and what club are you with right now?
Man, my year after my senior year of college, I had a very successful year at FAU, my last year. Shout out to the Owls. They're going to the Final Four. I still can't believe it. And I went to the NBA D League for a year and a half. And my second year, I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to. And my agent was from Spain, and he found a team in the Spanish second division, which is really competitive. And I left mid-season of the D League to come over here, and I fell in love with it, and I've been here ever since. This is my sixth or seventh year playing over in Spain, and you know, I love it. Right now my team is Real Valladolid. We are in second division Spain. and we are connected to a first division football team. We are a top four team in the second division with the chance of moving up to first division. And this is currently my fourth season playing for the club. And, you know, it's been going pretty good this year.
All right, well, congrats to you and the club. I'm excited to see if y'all can move, because it'd be really good if the club can be able to move up from two.
For sure, for sure.
And like you
were, go ahead.
Talking about you play college ball at Florida Atlantic and you get a shout out to them. They're in the Final Four. First off, what's that feeling like seeing your alma mater advance so far into the tournament and reaching, I think this is their first Final Four appearance in school history?
Man, first NCAA tournament win, first of many things. And it's awesome because when I went there, I went there solely off the fact of the guys that, you know, the coach recruited with me, and they all gave us a chance as a freshman to start and to play. So I remember my first year, there wasn't many fans in the stands. And then our second year, we actually started out like maybe 8 or 9-0 in conference play. And, you know, we had a legitimate chance, and we saw, you know, how big everything got. We had a well-known coach in Mike Jarvis and some flashy players, and we kind of brought like a culture of basketball to Boca Raton. And just to see where it is now, it's incredible, because I never thought, like, we were happy making the NIT. We had we won the conference regular season championship in 2011, and we were very happy making the NIT. I never in a million years would imagine FAU in the Final Four. But to say, to give kudos to Dusty May, I went there this summer to speak to the team and work out with some of the guys, and the energy and the confidence and the way they respect each other and play together is inspiring, even for me. So to see them where they are now is incredible, honestly. It's incredible.
And still reflecting on your time at FAU, what are some of like the most memorable experiences you have? And I do see as well that you are ended your college career as the leading scorer with 1,972 points for the Owls.
Yep.
Congratulations on that. But what kind of can you reflect on your time at FAU that like some memorable moments?
Just, you know, not being, I was recruited a lot out of high school by a lot of men majors, but really just seeing a lot of guys that, you know, were ranked higher than you in high school and playing against bigger schools, and just seeing that you can compete at that level as a, you know, as a freshman. Our coach threw us in the fire early and gave us the opportunity to play and compete, and it gave us so much confidence down the line. And I think that's what helped me out as a professional, able to compete 4 years in college at a high level. And then, you know, that really helped me transition to being a professional. But, you know, the relationships that I built at FAU, it was a real, real big family environment. And, you know, just the success I had personally, I think we could have had more success as a team. You know, we came up short. We had a really talented group of guys. But, you know, just being able to take the most that I did from that university and, you know, to be in the history books is huge for me.
Absolutely. And I do see that you are working with Boosted Biz to get a brand yourself out there, G2G.
Yep.
Shout out to that. With the recent approval of NIL, and as well as the transfer portal, because back in the day, that wasn't even existent. And if you transferred, you couldn't play at all for like a whole year.
Right.
Now with the concept of you can transfer and then go right into playing. What's your opinion after being an outsider, but also being within the Division One program and as well as college athlete, what is your take on the NIL and as well as the transfer portal?
Well, with the NIL, I think that is great. I really wish that it was around when I was in school, because I had a guy give me a pair of socks one time at FAU. He made me some customized socks, and he felt so bad, like he was violating NCAA violations for giving me a pair of socks. We had a few restaurants that, you know, showed love that we could eat for free and things like that. But besides that, I remember they started selling my jersey my senior year in the store, and they gave me one jersey for free just for me. But all of my family came in town and wanted to buy jerseys, and you know, I couldn't get anything for free, but the store was making money off of my number. And, you know, it just didn't seem 100% right. It didn't seem like, I felt like we should be compensated something. But to see it now and how these guys are really in charge of their own marketing, it's incredible. Incredible, honestly. I love to see the growth. I think the players are deserving, especially right now with social media being as big as it is. These players really have an influence on the younger generation. And when I was in college, my junior year is when Instagram really started, you know, to become a little popular. So I don't think it would have done much justice for us, but for the generation right now in college, I think it's great. I think it's great. As far as the transfer portal, I'm not really a big fan of it because, you know, I think that you learn so much sticking it out at your university through hard times. It's been times where, you know, I thought about transferring being so young, but it's like now all these kids are going from this year, this school, this year, the next school, and it's kind of hard to build a culture and a winning culture when everyone just wants to transfer. But at the end of the day, I also understand because look out for yourself. And, you know, I think the world is realizing how much of a business college basketball is. And rightfully so, the players should be in control of their own destiny. And, you know, they may have better opportunities financially to go to different schools now. So, you know, it's in a whole league of its own, honestly.
Absolutely. And you've also, I think, if I'm doing the math correctly, you've been over as well through a time when COVID was existent.
Right.
And right. I can imagine, you know, being so far away from home, as well as the stress of, is there playing time? What do we do with that? What's kind of going on with the team and everything like that? How were you able to kind of get through the tough times of COVID mentally, physically, and still trying to, I know, it might be hard to find work at that time because kind of shut down. How did you manage to pull through?
Well, my situation was a little bit different. I had been part of my organization for 2 years already, and I had resigned for a third year. I had an injury in the summertime that I was out for almost the entire season during the COVID year. So I didn't get back healthy until maybe February, and maybe like a month before COVID really started. And so honestly, for me, I used it as a time to get back in shape, as a time to, you know, work and get prepared for the next year, because I didn't play that year before COVID. I was out for like 6 months. And then when COVID hit, I was over here still in Spain because I got married 2 summers ago, but I was engaged during the COVID year. And my wife is from the city where I'm playing at in Spain. So I just happened to be over here when everything happened, visiting her and helping out with everything. And they put us on lockdown and we couldn't leave our house for about 90 days. It was really strict, not like in the States. We had police on every corner. We have a dog. You can only walk your dog around the back of your house for 5 to 10 minutes. One person from the house could go to the grocery store every day. So it was a lot of restrictions. So I just used it as a time to, you know, do those HIIT workouts at home and, you know, change my diet and just prepare for the next season. So to be honest, the COVID year actually worked out in my favor. I know it was difficult for a lot of players, but I was very fortunate to have a family here in the city that I'm playing in Spain. And the only bad part was I didn't get to see my family for a year. I wasn't able to go back home in America because we didn't know the restrictions for the next year with COVID. So my team re-signed me for a third year. And, you know, they asked me, please, can you just stay here throughout the summer and not come and not go back to America? Because we don't know the restrictions. We don't know how it is bringing Americans over. So I really just enjoyed being out in Spain that summer.
Absolutely. I can understand that can be hard on not knowing what to do. And especially, like you said, restrictions of coming back home and not being able to go back can be really
Exactly. I was thinking job security. I was like, okay, if I need to stay out here for a few months in the summer, my family will definitely understand. They'll be here next summer.
But first off, congrats on your marriage. I did see that.
Thank you.
especially through COVID, that could be hard, but happy to see that, you know, you're doing so well in Spain and that everything is, you're at least with a support system where it can work out.
For sure, for sure. I've been very fortunate. You know, a lot of Americans don't really get the opportunity to find the city, you know, where they can find their significant other, have a family, and just everything, you know, kind of work out, and then have a club that's ambitious enough to have, you know, the budget, the resources to every year try to, you know, make it the first league, which is the ACB league, which is one of the most respected leagues in Europe. So, you know, I'm blessed with the opportunity, and I definitely don't take it for granted. I just try to work hard and just, you know, take advantage of the opportunity every single day.
Absolutely. And as we're kind of ending the month of March and going into April, we still have about 2023 to go. What are some of the goals that you're still continuing to strive for, whether it's with the club or personal life?
Man, right now I turned 31 in November, and I can honestly say I know more now about my body and being a true professional and the kind of conditioning you have to be in, the kind of mental state you have to be in to be the best that you can be. And, you know, a lot of people look at when you get to your 30s, it's like, oh, he doesn't have many years. He doesn't, you know, have this, this, and this. And I feel better physically and mentally than I did when I was in college. Like, it's incredible just the way that I've learned about myself as a professional and learn what I need to do to maximize my opportunity over here. And now maybe because it's more of, you know, it's my life, it's what I want to do for, you know, a few more years while I'm still playing. But I feel great now. I want to play for at least 4 to 5 more years. That's my goal. My goal this summer is to, you know, sign a 2-year contract with my team. We have very high ambition. We're in a good position right now to make the Final Four and, you know, make a good playoff push and see what happens. Maybe we can move up the first league. But for me, you know, I dealt with a few injuries in and out of my career. But now I really, you know, understand what it means to be a professional and play at a high level consistently. And, you know, I'm just trying to just live in the moment, enjoy the moment. And hopefully I can do this for about 4 or 5 more years and then, you know, see what's next.
Absolutely. You want to make sure that you're still taking care of your body and not trying to overpush it.
For sure. And it's the lifestyle here over in Spain is, you know, more body friendly. You know, people are walking more, they're more active. The lifestyle is healthier. And then especially for athlete, you know, we have unlimited resources, you know, unlimited time just to get better and just focus on yourself mentally and physically. So that's one of the biggest things that I've learned and I try to share with, you know, younger athletes who are entering the professional world.
Absolutely. And my last question to you is, what advice would you give to, it's actually a dual question, what advice would you give rising high school players wanting to play at the college level and college players wanting to get that chance to play professionally, whether it's the G League or overseas?
Man, my biggest advice to high school players, I have two parts. Every single day is important. Like, every single day, you don't want to take a day off. Every single day, you can do something to get better, whether it's not putting your body through something strenuous or overdoing something, but training your body mentally as far as stretching, yoga, recovery, extra work in the weight room. Never take any moment for granted. If you have these resources like these athletes do now in high school and college, use them, because you'll see down the line that all your hard work will 100% pay off. Extra time in the weight room. If I can go back to my younger self, I would take the weight room more seriously. When I was in high school, we thought it was cool just to bench press and squat and do calf raises. But, you know, understanding the flexibility in your hips and your quad muscles, just small things, attention to detail, absorb everything that these high school and college coaches are trying to teach you and trying to prepare you for the future. And then my, what was the second question?
what advice would you give to college players wanting to play overseas or professionally?
Go somewhere where you're wanted and appreciated and where you can grow. Don't be scared of growth, because I've seen people's life change in 1 year. Players go from making $50,000-$60,000 to making $500,000 just based on a 10-month span. Your life can change in 1 year, and never get too high or get too low on yourself, because the life of a professional athlete is year to year. Nothing is guaranteed. You can sign a 2 or 3 year deal, but there's always a clause. There's always something that, you know, that can happen. And if you perform good this year, you have a good job next year, but you don't live up to those standards, and you're back at square one. So just evaluate every situation you can, and just give it 100%, because if you put in the work and you learn every year, yeah, I promise you, you can change your life.
That's some great advice, Greg. Thank you again for that.
For sure, for sure.
And thank you, Greg, for taking the time to come on the show. I love talking with you. I wish you the best of luck with everything going on in Spain with your club as well. And hopefully the Owls can bring home a title back to FAU.
Man, that would be crazy. That would be crazy. But thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back, guys, and I want to thank Greg for taking the time to come on the show. Looking forward to seeing how much he can do over in Spain and continue with his club out there. Hopefully they can make the move from Division 2 to Division 1.
Yes, sir.
In Spain, that'll be a really big plus for them. And speaking of Greg's alma mater, which was Florida Atlantic, our Final Four is set. Yep. We have San Diego State. The 5th seed San Diego State playing against 9 seed FAU.
Yep.
And 5th seed University of Miami will play against the 4th seed UConn Huskies.
And that boy,
on April 1st.
They got a shooter on their squad, man.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm done with March Madness after Texas loses. So well, I mean,
I was done with UVA. You had Virginia.
You had Virginia, man. And that fell through.
That fell through.
I can't believe Princeton made it that far. I can't believe San Diego State is making it that far. I can't believe
I had TCU also.
I can't believe that Arkansas beat Kansas.
I can't believe Kansas State lost.
I can't believe Pitt beat Iowa State. Mm-hmm. Or Miami beating Houston.
It's just crazy, man.
And
damn, March Madness.
Right now, I got
March Madness.
Right now, that could be anything. So right now, the teams that are making history right now are both San Diego State and FAU. FAU, yep, primarily because they first NCAA tournament win and first time in Final Four appearance, mm-hmm, ever in school history. They have a chance to make history if they get to the national championship game, or even as better, win the national title.
Yep.
The irony is that the Final Four is in Houston.
Which is crazy.
That the number one seed cannot play at home is,
oh man,
bewildering to that.
I mean, they were running through everybody.
Everybody.
They couldn't do it.
Nope. So, who do you got?
FAU.
We taking the Owls.
It's either FAU or UConn.
We taking the Owls.
I know my boy Lance.
Owls or the Huskies.
My boy Lance.
He's rooting for Miami.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
He's rooting for the Canes, man.
My boy Lance.
I know he's
hyped right now.
He's
hyped
because them. I should give him a call.
I know, I should hit him up. Hey, Lance.
Hit him up.
Congratulations for your team.
Hit him up right now and see if he responds.
I know he's coaching kids right now.
I know he's not going to be coaching kids, but say, hey, how about them Canes? I'm going to reach out and say, hey, how about them Canes?
I'm just saying.
Oh, man. But Final Four set in Houston. First game, April 1st, 6:09. San Diego State FAU.
April Fools.
The irony was, sorry, we're not playing on this.
We're not playing.
No lines. Actually, they do have lines right now. Not really. San Diego State is a favorite by 2 points.
And I mean, that's
the over under is 131. I'd take the over.
Definitely.
I'd take the over. No,
over on that game.
You take the over on that game?
They're going to score buckets. They've been scoring buckets the whole season.
That Florida Atlantic went 35-3 this year. And 18-2 in the Conference USA.
They've been scoring.
And they have. You look at the 79, 62, 78, 66, 78. On average, they're above 70. On average, they're above 70.
I will take that.
And then San Diego State has been hit or miss. They're like right at the edge of 70. I'd put them at like 68, 69.
That's over 132.
That's over 132.
I would take the over.
But I'm gonna take FAU to win the money line on that one.
Yeah.
Just simply for the fact that it's, I'd like to see the Owls.
Right.
And then Miami UConn. Now, certain people would want Miami to win.
Sorry.
The Huskies are.
I feel that UConn's gonna come away with that though.
Right now, there's nothing on the lines. I think they're not gonna put that out later.
Yeah.
But looking at what it could be. It's going to be a dog fight.
It's going to be a dog fight, but I think UConn
will take that. I think UConn will take that, and then they'll set it up for a Husky Owl championship game where I think it's going to come down to who wants it more. I want to say UConn, because UConn's always that team where it's like, they come out in the tournament. They come out in the tournament every, like, it's like a leap year. In my opinion, it's like leap year. Like, every 4 years, they find the light, and they get that glimpse of a championship title run.
Right, and the thing that UConn got working for them right now is an inside-outside game. Mm-hmm. They're really playing tough on the inside and hitting shots on the outside. Multiple players. Not just one or
not
two.
Not just one, but they, three or four of them, like, hit threes. Almost the whole starting lineup.
Yep.
Except the thing with, and the thing with FAU, they're tough.
They are.
They are. And they can hit.
And I didn't even expect for them. I didn't even know they were 18-5. It's crazy. But this is what I'll be talking about. It's so many teams that you're going to not know about that's actually buckets.
Or teams that you just. It's a thing when Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue.
FDU.
Yeah. They never see them. You don't know.
You don't even see them on TV.
FAU, Conference USA.
You don't see them on TV. Unless you got the package.
Like, you really have San Diego State, who's the Mountain West, which they ran because otherwise it's Utah State, Boise State, Nevada.
Right.
And like, they run it.
It used to be UNLV.
Gosh, that UNLV NLV team back in the day.
It used to be UNLV.
And then with Miami UConn, you have the ACC and the Big East.
Yeah.
Those are Power Five conferences. Mm-hmm. Mountain West, not so much. And Conference USA, non-existent. Because a lot of the Conference USA teams left for the Sun Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sun Belt was not really a whole lot represented. And the irony was, like, a lot of these, you'd never expected for FAU. They barely beat Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Fairleigh Dickinson, which did, you know, kind of did surprise me.
Right, but they barely beat them.
Beat Tennessee.
All their games were close.
Beat Kansas State.
You hear me? All their games were close.
All their games were within 10 points.
Right, they didn't have no blowouts.
Within actually 8 points or less.
Yep.
So.
Now, UConn, on the other
hand. UConn, on the other hand.
They beat the snot ran out of Gonzaga.
They
beat Gonzaga so bad.
They beat, they killed Iona. They killed St. Mary's. Exactly. They beat Arkansas, and they killed Gonzaga.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
So that's the thing.
That's the reason why UConn is looking like
Miami,
a favorite right now.
Miami had a decent game against Drake. They smoked Indiana. They beat the brakes off of Houston. And they just barely beat Texas.
But
they came back to beat Texas.
What I'm saying is,
it's going to be a dog fight. It's going to come down to defense.
It's going
to
be something.
That has to be the semifinal.
Yeah.
That can't be the championship.
Can't be the championship. Because that
honestly could determine who is a higher chance to win the national title. I'm not
saying
San Diego State or FAU can do it. We're just saying, we're looking at the numbers that they've put throughout this tournament and throughout the year.
And the defense.
Oh, my. And this, just defense, the shooting.
UConn's defense is phenomenal right now. The way they're moving, the way they're rebounding.
Everything.
It's tough.
It's insane.
I'm just saying.
So, we got FAU, UConn final. You're going to take UConn. I'm going to take FAU.
Yep.
I'm going to take FAU just because you want to root for the underdog. You want to see.
Always.
You want to see the higher seed. A 9 seed. No, you want to see a 9 seed win. You want to see, like,
I want to see a lower, anything you want to see lower than a lower, a one.
You want to see a lower seed win. Ones are overrated anyway.
I'm so tired of one. I don't want to see another team ranked number one and say they're going to win. Ever again.
You know what the irony is after this whole tournament? It puts Virginia's loss to UMBC kind of in the past.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Because I think.
But we've done it twice now. It's too many times.
You weren't a one seed. You just blew it. You blew it against Furman. Let's be honest, y'all blew it.
We were number one in ACC.
But.
We blew it.
You blew it. You just blew it in that aspect.
Amen.
So we're near the end of our show. We'd like to thank our affiliates who we work with, Boosted Biz, Kenichi Bear, mm-hmm. Shop GLD. We also want to shout out Moolah Kicks, shout out Grand Headbands, everything and everything.
Let's get one of them noggins from that noggin.
Our noggin boss. Yeah.
Love a hat.
Love a hat. Hoop jack hat. Black hat with the hoop jack logo and just the words. You know,
if you hear this noggin boss.
If you hear this noggin boss, hook us up. Hook us up with a hat. We definitely will advertise for y'all.
Big time.
Oh, I will wear that hat every day if I could. I will make fun of, but I'd say, hey, it's a good hat. It's a good hat.
And how you gonna do it?
Hey, it's a good hat. Can't complain. One of the things that we just saw was a very inspirational kind of quote and moved us. It was, resumes define where you've been, but your actions kind of can show where to lead you.
Right.
And that holds a lot of truth because, you know, when you look at somebody's resume, whether it's through a job or through life, you look at where they've been, who they've worked with, what kind of jobs they've done, or the life that they lived, and it's interesting because a lot of people live different lives, and that's what we kind of like to do with the show when we have our Hooper Profiles, is we get a glimpse of everyone's life story.
Yeah.
And everyone does have a different story. Yeah, it's, you know, some people could say, you know, why don't you just do the stories instead of that? Because we wouldn't be the show if we just did stories. Everyone can go out and do an interview with a player if they really wanted to, but we also just talk sports. We talk shop. You need that kind of vibe, especially, you know, when you got the right people to do it with.
True.
And, you know, show started out with an idea, and I did it by myself for a while. Then Jake came through. Then a couple other people came through. Then LeVar came through. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing to grow each and every day. But the past doesn't always define who you are, and your resume doesn't always define who you are unless you change it.
Yeah.
I think if you're not willing to change your resume and change the way that you live, then that's not gonna move you forward. It's not gonna do the job. It's gonna hold you back. So at the end of the day, find ways to update your resume.
Yeah.
Find ways to be creative. Find ways to shine a light on different things, different aspects. That's all you can do.
Yep.
But thank you guys for tuning into another episode. Yes. Keep following, keep liking, keep subscribing. We're growing each and every week. I know this was a late episode later in the week, but, you know, schedule-wise, we're all busy and we're all moving, doing a lot of moving parts, and we all make it work. But continue to follow us and keep the grind going. And remember, don't be a bystander. Be a hooper and keep balling. Peace.